Last Sunday was very special in many ways. Pastora Sarah taught on praise and worship, remember? And the service was integrated into praise and worship. She started last Sunday with praise. Then she taught and she ended with worship. And so after the worship, Pastor Karen came up and declared that Jesus was here, that he was touching each person, and that I believe we all fell to the floor on our knees. And at a certain point, she said, "Now Jesus is telling different people certain things." You all remember that? And she said, "Raise your hand if Jesus told you something." So I raised my hand. So would you like to know what he told me? Ah, you're going to hear it this morning. That's the teaching today. It's called Praise and Worship Part 2. Praise and Worship Part 2. It's all totally new to me, and I hope you all enjoyed as much as I did getting it, and God will enable me to deliver his message. So what I did was I captured all the music that Sarah used last Sunday, and we're going to do it all again today. I'm reorganizing it a little bit differently, but there'd be no break. We're going to go all the way from praise through worship. At the end of worship, I'm going to teach, okay? And the teaching, I don't think should be too long. It's 2 pages of outlines, but, you know, it's just most of scriptures. You can read scriptures pretty fast. It's not so much how much there is in terms of quantity, but it's the content. And what the content is really saying this. God created us for his pleasure. It takes pleasure in us. And that he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. But worship comes out of obedience. True worship is really obedience. See? And so what he wants are an obedient people, out of whom praise and worship will come out. More than the praise and worship coming out of you, what he wants you to be is a praise and worship to him. That your life and my life would be lived as a praise and as a worship to God. That we would worship him in obedience to his word, in truth. For his word is truth. And that we worship him in the spirit by being in his presence and soaring in the spirit with him and walking after the spirit and living in the spirit and singing in the spirit. But most of all, being in the spirit is being in the presence of God. That's what he wants us to do. Worship him in the truth, for his word is true. And worship him by being in his presence. Live a life where we are a praise and worship to God. Not just on Sunday morning for an hour, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our life is a praise and a worship to God. Amen? That, by the way, is the entire teaching. You just got the entire teaching. We're going to look at some scriptures afterward, okay? My wife and I spoke at a church a number of times. And the first time we spoke there, he had asked me to speak and did not realize that almost always my wife and I team teach. So I taught. And this denomination doesn't really believe in women speakers. They have, I think, one woman speaker in the history of the denomination. So I came to a certain point and I stepped off and Sarah went up to speak. And the place was kind of a little bit shocked. And Sarah got rolling, man. And the pastor turned to me and he grabbed my hand and said, "Man, what a pistol-packing mama!" That's what the word of God will do to you and change you really fast. Now this pastor, great man of God, he went up to Pastor Peter's prayer mountain, as he does every once in a while. And so he checked in on a Friday, quite early, and thought that before he went over to say hello to Pastor Peter, he would spend some time in prayer, went into this cave thing and started praying. And when he came out, 14 hours had gone by. My recollection is 14 hours. Is that sound right? 14 hours. Yeah, he thought like 2 hours had gone by, came out, 14 hours had gone by. That's what happens when you're in the presence of God. And the reason why I paused is because the next story I'm going to tell also is 14 hours. And I thought, wow, 2 stories in 14 hours. The longest service that we've had here that was not pre-planned, we've had a 24-hour service, but that was pre-planned. The longest service we'd had here was 14 hours. We started for a regular service, and it kept going and going and going. That's what happens when you're in unity. That's what happens when the anointing is strong. Time just goes, and you have no comprehension of time. Okay? That's where we want to be all the time. So today, we're going to teach on praise and worship part two. This teaching was given to me last Sunday. Pastor Sarah taught praise and worship part one. And at a certain point during the service, the Lord Jesus appeared here and people were on their knees and faces. And while we're there, he spoke to a number of us. And what he told me was what I'm teaching today. So, remember that praise is recognizing, honoring God for his mighty acts and his wondrous deeds. So praise is for what God has done. But worship is for who he is. Worship is honoring God for who God is. There is a maxim that I've come up with. I've kind of distilled all the maxims, and this one came up, and I like this one. Praise until the anointing calls. You know what I mean by that? You're going to service, and you got to really do the sacrifice of praise because you really don't feel like praising, you know? You don't really feel like raising your hand. It's been a rough week, and you keep praising. People keep praising, and all the while you get into it, then the anointing is calling you further and further, right? So praise until the anointing calls. Worship until the glory falls. When the glory falls, you lose track of time. You lose track of your problems. God can speak to you, and you can be changed in an instant of time. Now, adapting that to what I want to talk about today, which is your life is a praise and worship. Your life is a praise and worship to God. You're created to be a praise and worship to God. Everything that God has done on this earth, everything that God has created on this earth has been to draw you closer to him. He created a Garden of Eden, and he and Adam would fellowship on a regular basis. Everything is a progression of moving closer to God. And we can improve that progression when we see our lives as a praise and worship to God. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you have should be a praise and worship to God. For we were created for his pleasure. In that perspective, live the truth until the anointing calls. If you keep living the truth, if you do your best to obey the word, if you do your best to honor the word and do it, after a while, you start to become in alignment. And the anointing starts to come on you, on your life. I remember the first time I was talking to somebody and they fell down. Pretty neat. I liked it. Okay? The anointing. Live the truth until the anointing calls. Then stay in his presence. Once the anointing is coming, that means God's presence is getting stronger and stronger. Not just his presence is always in your spirit. God lives in your spirit. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm talking about his presence in the rest of your being. In your heart, soul, mind, brain, your five senses, every cell, every organ, every system, and around you. So you live the truth until the anointing calls. When the anointing calls, you start to come into alignment. Your body starts to be obedient to your mind obedient to your soul obedient to what's coming out of your heart, which is coming from the Spirit of God. You all line up alignment with God. And when you line up the five parts of your pentacotomy, when you line up the five parts of your being, it's like the combination lock. When you line up the numbers, it pulls apart. When you line up the combination lock of your five parts, when you line up your gates and your doors, as Psalm 24 tells you, the glory floods out. Psalm 24 says, you gates and you doors, worship the Lord. I forget the exact wording.
And the King of Glory will come in. That is the exact wording. The King of Glory will come in. That's what we're talking about. The King of Glory coming into your life and into your home, into your presence. The King of Glory. And the King of Glory will come in when you line up all your parts. So you praise God. You live the truth. You live the word. You respect the word. And you live the word until the anointing started to come on your life. And then you stay in his presence until the glory falls on you. And when the glory falls on you, miracles just are happening all the time. People fall down around you. You touch people and then they get healed. People come towards you just to talk and they're almost falling down. They come up for prayer and before you even touch them, they fall. When you stay in his presence. And we can do that. We can do a more effective job, a more spiritual job of doing that when we think of ourselves. We, ourselves, our lives as a praise and a worship to God. That's what we're living. And let's start with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are numbered from 1 to 10. Right? Not always the same, but they're numbered from 1 to 10. And the first commandment is, I'm the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no strange gods before me. No, if you have strange gods aside from God, other gods before him, put other gods in the first place, you're not worshiping him. You worship him when you're obedient to his word, and he is God, and you worship him by keeping his word. When you deviate from the word, I'm the Lord your God, I'm the Lord your God, when you go find other gods, you are being disobedient to his word, and you are worshiping other gods. You see what I'm saying? All the Ten Commandments fit that mold. This are the Ten Commandments. I keep it in my wallet at all times. People have a lot of things in their wallet. I thought, why not have the Ten Commandments? Second commandment. You should not make unto thee any graven image. We know it goes on longer than that. What is he saying? Don't make any image to worship. Don't have any images that come before me and you. Worship me. Have nothing in between us. No false idols made of hand. Nothing that's an idol to you. Not the picture of your first girlfriend or boyfriend that you've had 40 years later when you have 25 kids. And every once in a while when your husband isn't looking, you sneak a peek at it. That's a graven image. Get rid of it. Graven image. Get rid of it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Because if you're worshiping, if he's your creator, if you have this reverential fear of God, how could you possibly ever want to take his name in vain? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Keeping the Sabbath day holy, set apart for you and God, that you might rest in his presence, worshiping him by keeping the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Because your father and your mother are God's representative over you. This is the way it was set up to be. I understand it. It has not always been that way. But it's set up that they are the ones over you. And his authority, his power flows through them to you. It should. But many parents are not godly. And the world is heading more and more in that direction. But God set it up that his anointing, the flow of his anointing, his authority would flow through the parents to you. So honor your mother and father. That's a worship to God when you honor your mother and your father. Thou shalt not kill. Why? Because when you kill, when you're obedient to somebody other than God, you're worshiping them through your obedience. When you kill, you're worshiping Satan, who is the killer. He's the destroyer and the killer. Don't worship the killer. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why? Because God's first commandment to mankind was, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And for that reason, a man and a woman will come together and be one in a holy bond. And so, not to do that, to break that and commit adultery is rebellion. And you're
worshiping the God of rebellion, who is the devil. Thou shalt not steal. Why? Because the devil is a thief. And from the beginning, he was a thief and a liar. And when you steal, you're worshiping the devil. Thou shalt not bear false witness, because the devil was a thief and a liar from the beginning. And when you lie, when you bear false witness, you are being obedient to and worshiping the devil. Thou shalt not covet, because he was the original one of envy. He envied God and started this whole misruling. 10 commandments. See them as 10 actions of worshiping God. So we worship God, starting with the 10 commandments through obedience. We know that disobedience is equivalent to worshiping other gods. The effects of worshiping. One good place is Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. It's the effects of worshiping God through obedience. These blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. The blessings shall chase you down and overtake you. We're not to be chasing blessings. We are to be worshiping God. We are to be living a life of praise and worship to God, a life of obedience to God. And when we do that, the blessings chase us down. The blessings have been commanded to chase us down. Next, I want to talk about the process of worshiping God. And a really great way to see that process beginning is Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. We are told to be thankful to God in every circumstance. Not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance, we be thankful to God. We're told in Philippians 4, 6, that we should not be afraid of anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto God, and the peace of God will keep our hearts and our minds. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Which gates is he talking about? The model here is like the temple or the tabernacle, okay, of Moses. So you enter in through the gates, and when you get into the gates, you're in the courtyard. Now, the courtyard of the temple, of the tabernacle, is a covenant area. Only covenant people, Jews, circumcised Jews, can go into the courtyard. The penalty for entering the courtyard for an uncircumcised person is death. You enter the courtyard, and in the courtyard is where they do the sacrifices. And they do the sacrifices to prepare them to enter into the tabernacle proper. And you go in through a veil or a porch, a door in the temple, a veil in the tabernacle, into the first room, which is called the holy place. And all the priests could go in the holy place. But that was separated from the next one, the holy of holies, or the most holy place, by another veil. And only the high priest could go into the most holy place only once a year and only in Yom Kippur. So you see the progression of getting close to God. You enter the gates, you go into the courtyard, you do your sacrifice, you enter in the temple, into the holy place, if you're a priest, and then once a year, the high priest goes into the most holy place where God dwells. That's the progression of worship. That's the progression of drawing closer to God. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Then from there you move into the holy place through a veil which is called truth. The name of the veil is truth. And then you go from that through the next veil into the most holy place where God lives. His spirit is there. God's presence is there. So you're moving from entering his gates with thanksgiving into his courts with praise and moving towards him in truth and in spirit. You see the progression? You move towards him through truth and spirit. Okay. Now, in the holy place, there are three main objects. They're all made of gold. Why gold? Because gold symbolizes
the word of God. In Exodus 25 and 30, these are described. Exodus 25, the table of showbread is on the north side. As you enter it, on the north side, a golden table with the showbread. There are 12 loaves. One loaf for each tribe. But this is the bread of life. This is foreshadowing of Jesus, who is the bread of life that comes to us. So we enter truth through it, because the scripture says, thy word is truth. We enter through the veil of truth into an area which is built around the word. Exodus 25, 31 through 40. On the south side is the golden lampstand. It's golden. And the word says, thy word is the lamp unto our feet. So we enter through the veil of truth into an area that's all built around the word of God. And on the west side is the altar of incense. Now, twice a day, the high priest, Aaron, for example, would offer incense morning and evening. Now, as he's offering the incense in front of the altar of incense, there's a veil there which is semi-transparent. He can look into this holiest place, the most holy place, and see the tabernacle and see the mercy seat. But he can't go in there, but he can see it while he's offering incense. The incense represents prayers going up to God. Prayers going up to God. And Jesus today ever lives to make intercession for us. Prayers are words, God's words being spoken. So the holy place is all built around God's word. And his word is truth. It's all built around truth. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We go through the courtyard, which is sacrifice, which is a foreshadowing of praise or form of praise. It's praising God. Thank you, Lord, we're going to do the sacrifice because you delivered us from the heathen. So the courtyard is the place of praise. But then you move into the dwelling place, the tabernacle, and you worship him in truth, and then into the most holy place in spirit. Now, in the most holy place, there is no light in there. It's all enclosed. There's no light. It's lit by the glory of God. You're going to see what you're doing in there. You have to see. There's no light. You don't take a light in. God's glory lights it up. So, worshiping in spirit and truth. Reading from John 4:20. Our fathers worship in the mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. This is the woman at the well talking to Jesus. She says, what are you guys, heretics? God told us to worship on the mountain. You used to worship on the mountain. Now you've all gone off and said Jerusalem is a place to worship. You're leaving the word of God, which is true. Because God, his revelation knowledge doesn't stand still. God started on the mountain, moved to the tabernacle, and moved on to the temple. And today he's in us. And he's still moving on. Every time people think they've arrived and are standing still, they're just missing God. This group of people, the Samaritans, right? There are a group that are still trying to worship God the way he said. For example, they don't marry outside of other people. And they're a small group of people. So over the years, they've inbred and they have all kind of deformities and so forth on them. Today, as far as I know, they're still worshiping on the mountain. They're true to God's word, but they don't understand progressive revelation, that God is not standing still. So Jesus responded, John 4:21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. That's true. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We're saved because of the work of Jesus. But the work of Jesus came because the Jews kept the gospel and because of Father Abraham. John 4:23. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And we just saw the foreshadowing of that way back in the tabernacle and the temple. For the Father seeks us to worship Him. What is the Father looking for? People who worship Him in spirit and truth. People whose life will be a praise and a worship to God. People who will evaluate every action, every word, everything they own as a praise and an action going up to God. A praise and a worship going up to God. That everything we say either honors God or dishonors Him. He sees us as living incense coming up to Him. Incense of praise and worship. Sometimes that praise and worship is through our words, the word of God, prayer. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's a spirit, so you have to worship Him in spirit. That's why you get into the tabernacle, and He's there, and you're in His presence, and you're worshiping God in spirit, because He's a spirit, and you're a spirit worshiping God. Obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" He said, which does God prefer? The sacrifices of burnt animals and offerings or obedience? See, the obedience is a better praise, a better worship than the sacrifice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And that's why we are living praise and worship. To obey is better than sacrifice. Here's an example. Matthew 4:9. Satan is tempting Jesus after the 40 days, the final set of temptation. He tempted Him throughout the 40 days. But in the final set, He takes Him up to the temple. He says, "Showed Him all the kingdoms of the world, which He said have been delivered unto Me." Yeah, by Adam. They belong to Him. They belong, past tense, to Him because of Adam. The first Adam gave them to Him, but the last Adam took Him back. Okay? See, all these have been given to Me. I give them to you if you fall down and worship Me. If you fall down and worship Me. No, if you worship Him, He's being obedient to His word. He's being disobedient to God's word. God says, no strange gods but Me. And He said, if you worship Me, if you're obedient to Me, I'll give you all this. Notice how He got it. He never said to Adam, "Adam, if you worship Me, I can get all this stuff." He never mentioned worship at all. What He did was got Adam and Eve to obey Him, because the obeying is the same as worship. The first Adam obeyed Him, worshipped Him through obedience, and Satan became his god and got all the kingdoms of the earth. But the last Adam says, "No, I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to obey only God." And he quoted the word, for it is written. Okay? Every time Satan tempted Him, He responded, "It is written." In other words, He's being obedient. He's continuing to be a living praise and worship to God by worshiping God through obedience. Here's another example, Matthew 59. "In vain they do worship Me." Why are they worshiping Him in vain? Because they're teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Disobedience. They're not teaching God's word. So they worship. It's vain. It's useless. And here is worship. "Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed in Him, if you continue in My word, if you continue worshiping the great God through obedience to His word, then are you My disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If you continue to worship in word, you know more of the word, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you continue in this word, you know the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. And Jesus is the word. How do you get to know Him? By knowing the word. You worship the word. You're obedient to the word. You worship God by being obedient to the word. As you worship God by being obedient to the word, then you get to know Jesus better. So continuing in the word is equivalent to worshiping in truth. So your life is the praise and worship to God. Your life is the praise and worship to God. So looking at the progression again, you enter the gates, go into the courtyard, enter the holy place, and finally, you're in the most holy, in God's presence. Let's examine this. First fruits is thanksgiving. Deuteronomy 26, verse 10. Behold, I've brought the first fruits of the land, which our Lord has given me, and have set it before the Lord our God, and worship before the Lord. So, in the old covenant, they brought the first fruit of the land, and they presented it to God as their worship. With a better covenant. James 1, verse 18. Of his own will, God begat us with the word of truth. We're created with the word of truth. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are created to be the first fruit. What do you do with the first fruit? Many of you do it. You know, people bring me, an avocado, vegetables. They bring us all kinds of things. Why? They bring in first fruit to honor God. Well, we are the first fruits. We give ourselves as the first fruits to God in praise and worship, in obedience. Romans 8, 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, not just creation and all created things, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits of the Spirit have been given to us. Let us pass it back on to God by worshiping Him in spirit and truth, by living a life of praise and worship, by living a life of being obedient to the Word and being in His presence. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We also groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Well, when there's first fruits, there are more fruits coming. We are the first fruits of the Spirit, but there's more coming. We have the Spirit living inside us as a down payment of our full redemption. The word the Bible uses, I can't think of it, but it means down payment. We have the Spirit of God inside us. We have our salvation. It's a down payment of the full redemption. What's the full redemption? Glorified bodies. We have the first fruits, and our body is waiting for the fullness of the fruit, the redemption of the body. So that's first step, that you enter his gates with thanksgiving. Next step is sacrifice of praise. Now you're in the courtyard. And in this courtyard is where they do sacrifices. We still do sacrifices. Not animals, not fruits. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We are supposed to be offering the sacrifice of praise. And many times, praising God is not a sacrifice. But sometimes it is. Sometimes you got to really fight to overcome the challenges of the day and the irritation of the person who took your seat. So you can get into praise, and you're actually fighting. It's a sacrifice. You all know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, we do that and should be doing that at all times. When somebody slaps you on the cheek, you offer the sacrifice of praise by turning the other cheek. Okay? When somebody says something mean, you offer the sacrifice of praise by forgiving them. When somebody takes your job or your contract, or steals your car, you offer the sacrifice of praise by giving it to them, blessing them, and praying that laborers of the harvest cross the path to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And you believe that God will give you back a better car. Amen? Amen. Romans 12, 1. Again, sacrifice of praise. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Well, that's your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service for your, we're created to be a living praise and worship to God. And you're entering with thanksgiving. No, present your body as that living sacrifice. Your body is the courtyard. And in the courtyard is where you offer sacrifices. And the courtyard in the old covenant is synonymous, is foreshadowing of the courtyard in the new covenant, which is your body. That's not what we teach in the Penta Academy, if you've been to semester 2. The courtyard is equivalent to your body. It's a foreshadowing of your body. The courtyard is a covenant area. Any person who went into the courtyard who is not covenant with God is put to death. Your body is a covenant area. The only person that should be in your body, should have possession of your body, should be your spouse. And that's why it's such a covenant thing that when a man and a woman come together in marriage, that it's sealed with blood. Sealed with blood. Doctors have never been able to figure out why a woman has the hymen and why there's blood the first time they have sex, which should be with their husband. Because it's covenant. The only person should have access to your spouse. Now, God makes allowance in the Word for remarrying. And of course, many of us never knew any of this stuff. So we violated it. Because His people perish for lack of knowledge. But thank God, no matter how big your mistakes were, Jesus was bigger than them. And they all paid for, and they all washed away, and the past is gone. Today, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You start off afresh. Well, you start off knowing from this day forward, I understand my body is a covenant area and belongs to God, me, and my spouse. And if you're not married yet, it still belongs to the spouse that God gave you. You're just taking care of it and treating it up and getting it in shape for the spouse when the spouse shows up. You know, the body is such a covenant thing that God says in the Scriptures, whoever destroys this temple, I will destroy him. Serious words. That's New Testament. That's not Old Testament. Okay? Finally, we get into worship. So today, we enter His gates with thanksgiving by giving our first offering, which is ourselves. We come into His court with the sacrifice of presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, which we do ongoingly, and with the sacrifice of praise. And finally now, we are at worship. We enter into the holy place by worshiping in truth, by living God's truth. For John 17:17, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So every time we choose to believe God's word, every time we choose to speak it and to do it, we're worshiping God in truth. And that's what He wants. We are living worship. No. Revelation 4 verse 11 says, you're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created, including you and me. We are created for His pleasure. And His pleasure is when we believe His word and we're obedient to His word and we worship Him in truth. Psalm 95 verse 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down to kneel before the Lord our Maker. We should only kneel before the Lord our Maker. He's our Maker. We should kneel before Him. We should worship by kneeling before Him, not kneeling to other gods and other graven images and other things that detract from God. He is our Maker. And we worship Him by recognizing that He is our Maker. How do we do that? He's a great God. He is our Maker. So we obey His words. So John 14:21. We worship Him because He's our Maker. We worship Him through obedience to His words. And John 14:21 says, he that has my commandments and keeps them. He that has my commandments and keep them. He it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Make myself clear to him. Show up and talk to him. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person opens, he's talking to the church. Wasn't talking to unbelievers. Now, we use it as an evangelism scripture. But he was talking to the church. And that's fine. That's good. I've done it. But he was talking primarily to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person open, I come in and have supper with you. We worship in spirit by walking after the spirit, by living in the spirit. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, with a condition, who walk after the Spirit. We worship Him in spirit by walking after the Spirit. We worship Him in spirit by staying in the Spirit. We worship Him in spirit by being obedient to the Spirit. Obedience has two parts for a believer, the Word and the Spirit. If you're obedient to the Word only and you ignore the Spirit, you can easily get into legalism. And you say, okay, you know, nobody can come to church if they're wearing lipstick. That's legalism. You need to have the Word and the Spirit. You must worship Him with the Word, with the truth of the Word, but you must also worship Him with the Spirit. That when you see something, you are looking in what spirit, what was the intention, what is God trying to do? And you can only know that through the Spirit of God. You worship Him by making your decision by the Word. And by the leading of the Spirit of God inside you, by the voice of God inside you. We worship Him in spirit and truth. We are created to be a living praise and worship by worshiping Him in word and in spirit. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the daughters of God. For they're led by the Spirit of God because they're worshiping God in spirit. 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. He's a holy God. He says, be holy. We worship Him by believing that and by trying to be holy. No, we are the righteousness of God and all our sins have been paid for. He did that for us. What are we going to do on our own? On our own, we're going to partner with that righteousness and try to move into holiness. So that we don't have on our houses things that are false idols. Like what? Like CDs that are, I was going to say cassette tapes, but nobody has cassette tapes anymore except my wife and I. Okay, CDs or video disc or whatever they have nowadays with pornography. Okay, DVDs and all this modern stuff. Okay, we don't have that because that's, we're throwing worshiping God out the window because we're being disobedient to Him. So it says, be holy for I am holy. No, to make that more understandable, look at Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. He's God. All the glory is due to Him. How do we do that? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As you decide, I'm going to worship Him in truth and in spirit, you're obedient to the Word, you're obedient to the leading of the Spirit, it takes you into holiness. And you worship God with the beauty of your holiness. And you know there's a beauty in holiness, but there's an ugliness in sin. You know what I'm telling you? You ever see anybody with the demons are manifesting? They're not looking their best, let me tell you. Okay? Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See, if you're focusing on the things of the flesh, if you're focusing on the things of the flesh, if you're minding the things of the flesh over and above God, then you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. They may not be sins directly. They may not be sins, but they're not worshiping God in spirit and truth. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. God wants us to focus on worshiping Him in spirit and truth. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. If you do anything that distracts from you being a praise and a worship to God, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Because it means you're moving either into carnality or into sin. And He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to always be in the Spirit. Always be in the anointing. Always to have His glory and presence around you. John 4:23. Let's close with this. For the hour comes and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's emphasized that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know, it's wonderful to be technically excellent. It's wonderful to be a good musician. It's wonderful to be able to do all these things. But all the talents don't compare. Pounds of talents don't compare to 1 ounce of obedience to God. 1 ounce of anointing. And the reason why so many Christian musicians have these songs that don't quite make it is because they're not focusing on the anointing. And in particular, they're not fasting while they're doing their worship. Sometimes they're doing much worse than not fasting. We had some experiences in some churches where I could tell you about that, where we were involved in it, in correcting people, but I don't have time for that. Okay. So, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear yet what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope purifies himself even as he's pure. So we want to purify ourselves even as he's pure. And we do that by constantly living a life of praise and worship. Your life, my life, is a praise and worship to God. Amen?